self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And it's Friday night.
Yep.
It must be Friday night because I'm Doug McBurney sitting in, co-hosting.
That's right.
I really appreciate you letting me in, Bob.
Doug's here. It must be Friday night.
Yeah, it's always a great time on Friday night. And
you do have fun.
Oh, it's a great. And the number to call, we're nationwide on the Information Radio Network. With affiliates in, where at now? Denver, right?
Yeah, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Massachusetts.
You have Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
Your home stomping grounds, Rochester.
Rochester. Oh, man, Rochester.
New York. Well, you're out in Buffalo.
Well, yeah, well, you know, it's Western New York. All the Easterners consider it all just a vast wilderness. So
right.
It doesn't really matter where you're from.
And then South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend, that's
in our affiliate in Denver, KLT, the largest, the most powerful Christian radio station in the country.
Right.
That's exciting.
And on certain nights, you can pick it up on the moon.
That's
so
right.
Far.
36 states, Canada, Mexico, and the moon.
And the moon. On some nights, we should point that out.
Bob, I got some, there we go.
Yeah.
I got some fairly embarrassing stories about women of respect.
Uh-oh.
In America.
Uh-oh.
Just to start out real quick, just
oh,
a couple.
Wow. Yeah, because we've got big terrorist
I know.
News.
Well, there's just the
war news.
An unbelievable, tragic, sad story that won't go away. Janet
what?
Reno's career. Can you believe this woman?
That is funny.
They're having a recount in Miami.
This is pitiful.
It's
for a primary election?
Right.
For the governor of, like, the most southern state no one cares about?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No,
well,
Florida is an honorable state.
It's a fine state with a lot of fine people.
Yeah. It's just the governor's daughter is almost.
How embarrassing. You know, Florida has done more to set back the efforts of Democratic elections.
It is so hysterical. Actually, I like it. But, you know,
well,
they've got these new voting booths.
Touchscreen voting machines.
Yeah. How could it be easier? But you have public school alumnus.
Oh, man.
Alumni.
Not take it easy on the public school kids.
You know, public school alumni who are supposed to turn the machines on.
Show up at 7 a.m.
And they can't figure out how to do it. They've been trained. They've been trained and they can't do it. What does Janet Reno expect?
Well, it was a close vote, Bob. That's what's scary. Now, it was Janet against some far-left Democrat, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But now they want to recount, and it's like a real bad rerun. And, you know, it just makes you worry that everything's been done and we're just rehashing old, horrible stories.
Old news.
Old news,
it's,
like Janet.
It is funny.
So maybe the recount will finally end her career, and she'll just go away. Get in a red pickup and drive off into the sunset.
I don't know. Anybody who would beat Janet El Reno has got to be worse than her, though.
Well, that's
true.
It's
a general rule.
Yeah. And that's
whoever wins
an
election by the majority usually is the worst.
Yeah.
Not always.
Not always. But
usually. The majority shouted, crucify him, and we want Barabbas.
They did.
So that's an example of where the majority picks the worst candidate.
It's kind of a damning statement about democracy there, Bob.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of scary.
Hey, Doug,
before we get to the other woman of respect who's embarrassed our country today, we'll go to the phones.
Yeah, because you were in Canada.
I've been
this week, right?
Yes, I've been around.
So let's go to the phone. Let's go to Canada. We got calls from Florida, Indiana, and Canada. Let's start out in Saskatchewan, Canada. Gary and Janice?
Yes, that's right, Bob.
Hi, guys. This is Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
How are you guys doing?
Doing
great.
Really well. What's up?
Wow, it's just awesome to talk to you guys. We've been trying to get a hold of you. Up here, we don't get you other than on the internet.
Right.
I used to listen to Bob's show during on the C-band there on World Harvest.
On satellite TV.
Right.
The good
and
old days.
We got a chance to share some of your products and information up here to another younger couple here lately. And
yeah.
They got kind of turned on to some of the old videos, and we started showing that, and then we ordered some tapes, and next thing you know, he's got to order a plot.
All right.
We got another couple in our church wanting to get the plot, and it's just we've been having a lot of fun up here with it. So
it's like, you know, I don't want to rip off Rush, but it's sort of like a benign disease that spreads.
So somewhat of an addiction. And hey, I want to just tell you, Gary, we've seen this happen over and over, and you're going to be okay.
There's a lot of other
people who've been down this road before, too.
Well, that's exciting to hear, Gary. The Bob Enyart Live exists to get God's ideas, as they appear in the Bible, to get those ideas out to as many people as we can. So, hey, we're reaching Canada. That's a good sign, because Canada, you guys have really had a challenge up there lately, Gary.
Hey,
yeah.
Gary,
can
I ask you some questions? Because I was just recently in your fine land there in Canada.
Okay.
I was over in Montreal.
It is beautiful country.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Stunningly. Hey, Gary, I drove up with friends up the Alcan Highway.
Okay.
Through British Columbia, through the Yukon.
Yeah, that's awesome up there.
Just all the way to Alaska and Fairbanks. And
wow.
All the way north, as far north as we could go. But anyway, it is a beautiful country.
Yes, and lovely people.
Yeah.
But Gary, I want to ask you, on Monday and Tuesday of this week, in the Canadian media, did you hear any press reportage about the riot that caused Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to be canceled?
Actually, I did see some of that. I believe I saw that on, maybe it was at Fox or possibly CNN, I'm not sure. But I did see some of it.
Well, I don't think so.
Mainstream media here...
I mean, no one I've talked to heard anything. I scanned the U.S. media along with European media. I saw no coverage. It was wall-to-wall in Montreal.
Okay, I did catch it here. Maybe it was on our – I do tape a local one here from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is just south of us here a ways.
Saskatoon, that's your capital city, right?
No, Regina is actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a few hours south.
My public school was showing.
All right, no.
I was advising Bob.
Hey, so anyway, Gary, you saw Doug.
You
tell us what you heard.
You heard about the story, Gary?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was just I couldn't believe it. I mean,
now there's a total blackout on this story, so we're breaking this to the American audience. But Netanyahu was there to give a speech on Monday. At college, students smashed the windows out at the college and occupied, or not at the college, at the building where he was going to speak.
These are the beautiful people, right? The liberals, the ones who give peace a chance.
The ones with glitter in their navels. All those kids,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, the college kids.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Followers. I was quite shocked to see that because I have such high respect for the man. He's an awesome leader, and I would like to see him actually back in office again if possible.
All right. I'm with you. At least, Gary, couldn't we agree that he should be allowed to speak?
Oh, certainly.
When he's invited to a university.
Right, but liberals who are tolerant and believe in diversity and peace and all.
Well, Gary, I got to tell you, I was a little scared because some of the – now, this was at Concordia University in Montreal.
Right.
And there was hundreds of students shouting anti-Israel, anti-U.S. slogans right as we're coming up on the September 11th anniversary. And waving banners with anti-U.S. and pro-Palestinian slogans, and basically running Netanyahu out of town. He never even made it to the building.
Were these French-speaking protesters?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
There you have it.
And you know, there's a large Arab community there in Quebec. I don't know about the rest of Canada.
Well, I'm in a smaller populated city here in Prince Albert, so we don't really see a lot of that. But I know that on the east and west, either side of us there, there tends to be a lot more.
The coasts, for some reason, seem to attract
all
the whackers.
Same thing,
right?
Same thing with
immigrants
anywhere.
Okay. So hang through the break, Gary. Hang through the break. 800-8-NYART. We'll be right back on Bob Enyart Live.
Okay.
This is listener-supported radio. Doug, thanks for joining me even on the commercial break.
Yes, indeed it is listener-supported radio.
And if anyone would like to help us reach more and more people, as we, you know, we don't give up, Doug. We've been doing this for years.
Right.
You can call us at 1-888-836-9278. Now, the call-in line, which the lines are full.
The lines are full, so don't bother right now. But when you hear someone hang up.
5 seconds before they hang up.
That's the
call
trick.
In.
Right,
well,
call
7
in.
Seconds.
But if you wanted to help this ministry by donating or ordering some of the products, you, even though the lines are full, you can get through on the 888 line.
Well, or at least leave a message.
Yeah, or leave us a message. 888-836-9278. You can order products, Bible studies.
That's
cultural
right.
Studies.
Monthly Bible studies once a month automatically. We can charge your credit card or you could send in a check, $24.95, and we'll mail you out 4 Bible study tapes. And we start out with an overview of the whole Bible that we call the plot, the storyline of the Bible. And then you get into the books of the Bible and really fun topics.
Some various topics that are exciting. Some angles of Bible study that, are fairly unique, I think, in ministry.
Yeah.
And something that's really beneficial to people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some things. Mine some nuggets, some gold nuggets out of the Bible that you might have missed had you not been involved in this study. And maybe you get in touch with us. Maybe you can send some stuff our way as well. We always love to talk about the Bible and study the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we have videos. We've been hearing people talk about our videos lately. Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, God and the death penalty, a Bible tour of Israel. We've got some fun videos.
And the number to call is 888-836-9278. That's 888-836-9278.
All right, Doug, now we have one more minute.
We're back on live.
Live commercial.
Live on the internet.
One more internet commercial. That's right.
Well, what do we want to do the commercial for in this 1 minute segment?
Hmm.
There's so many products to choose from.
Should we tell people about...
You know, you haven't talked about your ACLU video. That's one of my favorite videos, when you debated the former head of the ACLU.
ACLU. I forget what that stands for. ACLU.
ACLU? Anti-Christian Litigation.
Oh, yeah. Unit.
Unit? Is that it?
Yeah. Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. Bob debates the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld.
It was so funny that the way you were able to get this guy to indict himself and his own beliefs.
It was
tremendous.
It was pretty neat. It was on public television here in Denver, and you could see it on video. We played the tape. Said, stop the tape. Stop the tape.
Yeah.
Give transcription and pretty fun. So
888-888-8-N-Yard. Yeah.
All right. So unlike in Colorado, where Arafat's former spokeswoman has been speaking last couple days, tomorrow she'll be at CU up in Boulder.
That's right. She's in town. Hanan Ashrawi.
Ashrawi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conservatives go there to protest, but they don't break out the windows.
Right. They don't throw things on the stage and occupy the building.
Right. And she's able to speak.
She has been allowed to speak.
Generally shows you the difference between right-wingers and left-wingers. Generally, the left-wingers who brag about diversity and freedom of speech and all that, it's all a scam.
Yeah, right.
The rights of children, and they kill children. So it's all a scam. Anyway, let's go back and give Gary his say now. Gary from Canada. Hey Gary, so you're in Prince Albert?
Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, that's right.
All right.
That's just slightly a couple hours south of LaRonge. I believe you used to go fishing up in that area a few years back, Bob. I remember I called in on your show one time. You were mentioning you'd been to fly in camp up there, but
we had actually one of our sponsors was up there at a beautiful, beautiful camp.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, Bob, I had an opportunity to order some of your videotapes. I was listening on the break there, and you mentioned some of your tapes. Mm. And up here in Canada, of course, we're paying almost two for one. But I think they're worth every penny, and I'd like to encourage anybody that's listening out there to purchase your videos and your tapes that you have. And we've got the death penalty one, and I've got bought your plot, as I mentioned earlier. But I'd ordered some tapes previously, your video fruitcake and a couple other ones there.
Video fruitcake, yeah.
Our government got into them on the way over, and they actually split one of the tapes open, damaged them. It's playable. I put it back together and played it here.
Oh, no.
I've been able to share that with a few people.
Customs. You sure? Maybe they watched it and they had a lousy VCR.
Gary.
Well, I suspect that, they didn't. Never thought to put it in a VCR to make sure it was a tape. They had to take it apart to find out if it was done or not.
Right.
Wait a minute, Gary.
Sounds like a bureaucrat.
Gary, did you say you put the tape back together and you were able to play it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was.
I've never heard of anyone able to do
took
that.
It apart to actually look inside, and the leader was broke, but I just taped it back up, and it's
even the leader was broke. Gary, we have the brightest audience in the country.
Tell me about
right
it.
Here.
Oh, man.
So, hey, I'd like to give you an hour to cut that out, Gary. But thank you for the wonderful comments about the videos and the material we've got. It's fun stuff.
It's awesome stuff, Bob. It really is, and it's such a fun thing to be able to share the stuff. It's so, pertinent to what's going on today, and it's so easy to share with people, using the methods and the stuff that the material you have there. But we're coming down in November, and we can hardly wait to get down there.
Who's we?
Yeah.
All the way to Colorado?
Coming down to the States, eh?
Yeah, you bet. We're going to take a weekend and fly down. I've got a friend of mine who I mentioned earlier. We've had an opportunity to share some of your videos, and he purchased a plot. He's also a pilot, by the way.
All right.
That's handy.
There's a lot of pilots listening on your program.
There are. It's sort of uncanny. But are you going to be flying with him? Is he flying you guys?
No, actually, we have to take a commercial airliner to get down there, but they'll be coming with us. They're a newlywed couple, and at this point, the four of us haven't any kids, so it's easier for us to take off. We've take a long weekend, and we'll be down there in November.
And where are we going for dinner your first night here?
I'm not sure. I don't know the city well enough.
Oh, well, we know all the finest restaurants.
Yeah, awesome.
Maybe we'll have to go to Luke's Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. Now, no free commercials. We have to send Luke's a bill now.
That's right. For that. In Arvada.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your comments about all the materials that are available from Bob Enyart and KGov.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to seem mean, but I got another kind of embarrassing story from Canada.
Uh-oh. Canada has been hurting recently.
Yeah.
Oh, it's notoriously bad up
Well,
here.
Let me ask you, Gary, what's your opinion of John Chrétien?
He's not an impressive guy in my book.
Okay. Oh. Well, that's good. You've acquitted yourself well, because listen to what he said today. Or I'm sorry, he said this on September 11th, or about September 11th. He said it yesterday.
This was terrible. This was terrible.
This is to quote him. Quote, he said, I do think the Western world is getting too rich in relation to the poor world. And necessarily, you know, we're looked upon as being arrogant, self-satisfied, greedy, and with no limits. And September 11th is an occasion for me to realize it even more.
So what he's saying, he's blaming the victim, just like, you know, the typical liberals. They say don't blame the victim. They're all hypocrites. They do exactly what they say not to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But this line about the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Mm-hmm.
They've been saying that for 150 years. The poor would be invisible by now.
they would have fallen off the chart. Come on.
Yeah, you can't keep getting more poor for 150 years. They didn't have shoes. They didn't have refrigerators back then. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have cars
and
bicycles.
Now the poor people have that.
Yeah, poor people have Nike shoes. And they go to the movies and they watch color TV and they have air conditioning. The average poor person in America.
Right.
So, but anyway, we're not going to bash Canada for the whole show, Gary, and just only because of you.
Hey, Gary, are there any other conservatives in Prince Albert?
Yes, actually, we have a few, and like I said, we've got another. We're pitching in to buy another plot for another couple of ours up here, and we're really looking forward to getting it and getting the material and being able to share some more. But I just wanted to say one more thing, Bob, regarding one of your videotapes. I emailed you. Oh, this is probably a few months back, but it was regarding a program that you had on videotape. You don't offer it any place, but it had, I don't know if you recall, you did the eagle's egg thing.
Oh, I recall.
Oh, yeah, eagle eggs.
We've been looking for the master of that. Someday we'll find it.
Oh, I sure hope you do. I really do. I have about
2,000 masters, and most of them are 3/4 inch and beta, and we don't even have decks to play 3/4 inch and beta. So it's hard. Right now, it's difficult to find old masters.
Right, okay.
Well, I've got the eagle eggs.
Yeah, I've probably got 100 of your CDs, like the MP3s I burned for Ray and Carrie. That's the other couple are coming down with us.
Ray and Carrie.
That's the great thing about MP3s. Burn
yeah, and he gets to share them with some of his pilot buddies there and stuff, and that works well. And I've shared a lot of your videos at work with some of our people there, and it's I've actually, in fact, had to borrow some back, some of the older videos, because we're just dying for more Bob videos up here because we need to.
Well,
Gary, that's just
thank
awesome.
You, Gary. All right.
Awesome.
Hey, Gary, I can't wait to meet you guys. When will you be here in Denver?
It'll be November, I believe it's the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
November 8th through 11th. There must be a Sunday in there somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And so at Denver Bible Church, we'd like to introduce the four of you guys to the congregation, and maybe we'll give an open invitation. Anybody in the Denver area wants to come to church that second week in November, come on out, and we'll all meet Gary and Janice.
Meet the Canadians Day.
Yeah.
Thanks,
right.
Gary.
Right.
God bless you.
All right. Same to you guys.
Appreciate that. Nice guy.
Wow. That guy did.
In
he
Canada.
Just did more to give me some hope for the future of Canada because I had lost all hope.
Yeah, Canada. You know, and we have liberals here who say we need a national health care system like Canada.
Yeah, right.
Well, people in Canada who get sick, if they can afford it, they come to America to get better.
Yeah.
And you don't. In fact, every country in the world that has a national health care system, if they could afford it, they come to America for health care. That's
course.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. People die waiting online for 4 months for something that you could get in a 2-hour notice here in the U.S.
Yep.
And that's not, you know, I'm not exaggerating.
No, not at all.
Right.
Hey, Bob, before you go back to the phones, let me just slide in this email because it fits in with some of the stuff Gary was talking about.
Yeah.
It says, Dear Bob. I live in Kissimmee, Florida, listening
That's
to Bob.
That's Disney World.
Is that right?
A lot of homos down there.
The Orlando area?
A lot of homos.
So this is probably a closeted heterosexual sending you an email.
Cool.
Listening to Bob helped me get through some difficult times in my life. I was in the process of being kicked out of my home by my wife.
Oh, no.
Because she'd rather be with her boyfriend.
Oh, no.
And we also have 2 children.
Oh, God, boy, how could it keep getting worse?
I was homeless, jobless. And then listening to Bob brought me to the Lord.
Oh, wow.
God bless Bob Enyart. It's from
I wonder how long ago that was that this person?
Well, he was watching you back in 1994.
Kissimmee, Florida. So been a Christian now for 8 years and just email us. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, he must not be homeless anymore. He's at least got an ISP access.
That's right. Let's go to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Joseph, speak your mind.
Hey, good evening, Bob and Doug.
Hello,
hey,
Joseph.
Hey, Bob, I wanted to touch base on something that went back to probably to last November.
Yeah.
I remember you saying on the air, and I never really heard you follow up on it, but you had made, I believe, a bet with a gentleman that you believe the operations in Afghanistan would pretty much be complete in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was I made a bet, and I forget, it was for a chocolate shake, as I recall, and that it would be complete by the end of the year. I think that was it.
Okay.
Within 100 days. That was 100 days.
And I believe the exact nature of the bet was that the Taliban would fall.
Well, I said that it would be over in 100 days.
Okay.
And so then we were within maybe, we were halfway into that period.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I'll double the bet. So we doubled the bet. And then Joseph, when it came down to it, the Taliban had fallen. Al-Qaeda had been completely dispersed and emasculated. But I lost the bet because we weren't done.
Yeah, technically,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well, I was just curious as to if you think our strategy changed or if I don't know if you estimated it a little bit off. Or I mean, right now, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking of Iraq as well. And I don't know. Where do we draw the line? I mean, is Iraq really that much worse than Saudi Arabia, harboring terrorists? I mean,
no.
Where
Saudi
do we draw
Arabia,
the line?
No. Iraq's just much more convenient to attack right now.
Yeah, right. Saudi Arabia is definitely our enemy. They definitely fund terrorism. So, you know, but it's the same thing with Arafat, right? George W. Bush said if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And then for about 6 months, he did everything he could to harbor Arafat.
And Arafat had like 50 guys in his basement
who were all terrorists.
Right.
But the point is that Bush himself was trying to harbor Arafat. He was protecting Arafat, funding Arafat.
No kidding.
So by the Bush doctrine, Bush could have bombed himself. If you're going to be against terrorists, be against terrorists. Arafat's a terrorist. The PLO, they're terrorists. The Palestinian Authority, they're terrorists. And Saudi Arabia, the kingdom, is a terrorist regime. They fund terror through their official charity channels.
Yeah.
So... So what are you saying? You're saying maybe, do I think we got a little wimpy?
No, well, perhaps, but also on the long term, I mean, we can say, yeah, well, let's go wipe out all the regimes and, you know, when we get the right opportunities and try to put in good governments. And,
well, in...
But, yeah. I mean, right now, in Afghanistan, look at it, we're just trying to keep Karzai alive. I mean, how...
Yeah, in Afghanistan, actually, for, you know, the terrorists, the Islamic terrorists, they destroyed a few buildings and killed 3,000 people, which was a great tragedy. But in return, the price they paid, they lost the country.
Right.
They lost the country, a government, an army. They lost it all.
Right. And they've been on the run, hiding and not eating well and not sleeping well.
So that's not – when you want to take over the world government by government, this has not been an initial foray for them that's been successful. It's been a colossal failure. And so I think the prosecution of the war in Afghanistan went extremely well.
Right.
And then when we basically met our goals, then, of course, you could expect we sort of let up. In Iraq, I have a feeling once we start in Iraq, it's going to be a blast.
And you mean a fast blast.
No pun intended.
Pay attention quickly, folks.
It's going to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
The mother of all retreats. Live commercial break. Our phone number for calling in to order the plot is 1-888-THE-PLOT.
It's not 888-THE-PLOT, Bob.
Oh, no,
don't do that. It's 888-836-9278.
1-800-THE-PLOT.
Order the manuscript that will help you know where you are in the Bible, as where you are right now and where you are when you open the Bible to a certain area.
Right. You open the Bible, you read a chapter, which is Sadly, that's the way a lot of Christians do, a poke and hope method.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Right? They say, Lord, please direct me, and they just open the Bible and point, and it says, curse God and die.
Oh, man. Bob, I got a confession to make.
What?
Back when I was a loser,
yeah.
I sought the wisdom of God by literally dropping the Bible open
and seeing
and
where
hoping
it would
that
open.
God would give me the answer.
And so you look, and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. He said, that's no good. I got to find another one.
Well, I got to tell you, Bob, that even though I can't remember exactly where it opened to, within a page or so, I was convinced that, man, you're a loser. You need to get back to reading the Bible more.
Well, that would have happened on any page.
Exactly. So, exactly. To really understand the Bible is valuable.
Yeah, and to be able to open the Bible, to read any of the books in the Bible, any of the chapters, and understand what it's about, that is so comforting.
Yeah, and there's so many things in the Bible that seem to contradict each other when they're pulled out of context and compared.
Right.
And
like, for example, you can't eat meat sacrificed to idols. You can eat meat sacrificed to idols.
Right. Now the Old Testament says you can't. And then later in the New Testament, Paul says you can.
Doug, and the New Testament says you cannot eat meat sacrificed to idols.
That's right.
The Old and the New Testament
got me there.
Both say you cannot eat meat sacrificed to idols. And the Apostle Paul dedicates an entire chapter to say you can eat meat sacrificed to idols. What's with that? What does it mean anyway, meat sacrificed idols? What in the world does that mean?
We can help you just by get started with
It means you can't order food from Kroger's.
That's right.
You can't go to Kroger's and order meat, purchase meat.
Right, because they have an employee diversity program.
Right, and some homo might have prayed to some pagan goddess while he was butchering your prime rib.
Or preparing your alfalfa sprouts or something.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So anyway, but does it matter today? In the New Testament, Jesus said, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols.
That's right. That was in the New Testament.
That's pretty intense.
And then Paul says, hey, go ahead, eat it.
Now, we're not going to tell the listeners where Jesus said that.
No.
And we're not going to have to figure it out.
You have to get the plot, folks.
Well, get the plot and you'll enjoy it. That'll be one small little enjoyable tidbit. Okay, we're going to go back and give Joseph a chance, and then...
Joseph can make what?
Sounds like give Joseph a chance.
Give Joseph a chance.
To make his point. Sounds like a Broadway play. Give peace a chance in the Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and back to Florida. Joseph, go ahead.
Sure, Bob. Well, I just wanted your opinion on the whole thing. I didn't...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, I jumped to conclusions pretty quickly, but the more I sit back and think about it, less sure I am of what we should do. And I just wanted your opinion.
Well, I think we're going to go into Iraq, and it's going to be an excellent military exercise.
Yeah.
You know, once every 10 years, the military needs an all-out live ammo
exercise.
They really
do. Because, you know, that gunpowder, it gets stale after a certain period of time.
Right.
It needs to be... And hey, so, I got a question, though, to wrap it up.
Desert terrain is especially good for military exercises.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So maybe it was convenient that Saddam stayed there for 10 years. Not really.
Well,
I'm just being
facetious.
Well,
I want to ask you, Bob, do you think that an invasion or an attack on Iraq is going to further radicalize more elements of the Islamic community worldwide?
No. Just like the last time, 10 years ago, they're so disillusioned. And just like 9/11 happened and they're all celebrating— And then they got the daylights knocked out of them and running with their tail between their legs.
Yep.
So, you know, they might strike back. But how about the guy we just arrested in Pakistan?
Yeah.
Joseph, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we arrested one of the top al-Qaeda.
Yeah, this is good news. This is just hot off the AP wire. Ramzi.
Been out of shape.
Ramzi bin al-Shib.
Ramzi, how do you say it? Ramzi Osama been out of sheep. He's been out of sheep now
for about
a year.
Now that's ethnically insensitive of you, Bob.
Well, however you say his name.
However you say his name.
He's been out of shape.
He was
he's arrested.
He was a roommate of Mohammed Atta, who was the brains behind the September 11th attack. You know, Bob, they got a picture of him here, too.
That is a funny picture, Doug.
If you folks get a chance, where did you pull this down off?
I pulled that down off, I don't know, AP?
Yeah, go to the AP on the web and get a look at this guy. And he's not the, like Bob said, what was it you called?
We always said that don't worry about too much about immediate additional terrorist attacks,
right,
because that was the A-team.
Well, yeah,
these guys have
right.
a hard time with a suicide bombing.
Yeah.
They think that means you kill yourself at your dining room table when you're strapping on your bomb. That's what half of them think. So, but this guy, doesn't he look like...
He looks like a second stringer.
Is he on hashish or what?
He's got the droopiest eyes. He looks dumb.
Come on. So he was Atta's roommate. But, after 9/11, they've got what? They got shoe bombers who can't light a fuse.
Right, yeah.
They got Greyhound bus wannabes.
Yeah, right.
And they got this guy.
Right.
Who's now, this is what we're left to?
This is all they've got left. Hey, and interestingly enough, Bob, speaking of Canada.
Yeah.
Separately, in this story, officials say that five men of Yemeni descent, most believed to be American citizens, were arrested in Lackawanna outside Buffalo, New York, a little suburb of Buffalo right there on the Canadian border.
That's where you grew up.
Yeah, I was born in Buffalo, and I know where Lackawanna is. And the second stringers are getting busted in Lackawanna.
So Joseph, we arrested a major Al-Qaeda in Pakistan today. And today, we got five, supposedly a terrorist cell operating outside of Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Some progress today.
There was one sad part of the story. Officials said that Ramzi, been out of shape, was not wounded in the capture, unfortunately.
Not everything goes well.
Yeah, well, you know, you try. Right.
Joseph, anything else?
No, well, I just wanted to make a plug for a Megan's Call video. I don't know if the last gentleman mentioned it.
Megan's Call video.
Phenomenal.
Right. I just think that's outstanding.
Wow. And that's a young woman called in, and she was pro-choice, if I recall.
Right. And the way you led her along and just confronted her, I've kind of copied your argument in debate with a couple people, and it's just...
That's the benefit of these videos and audio tapes, because you watch it a couple times, and then it becomes a part of your repertoire.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you're at work or you're wherever, you can... be persuasive with people.
It's just so powerful. I mean, you can see it on the video.
That's Megan's call. Megan's call. We've got those call videos.
Oh, yeah. Megan's call. Terry's call.
Amy's call.
Amy's call.
Yeah.
So that's your pick for top of the list, eh, Joseph?
That's right.
All right,
man.
Right. Well, thanks so much for your call. Have a great night down there in Florida. And we're going to continue on the phones here?
Yeah.
We're going to continue.
Where are we going to go to here? We should go to Don. He's been
holding
forever.
He's been holding the longest.
And he's homophobic.
And, hey, that's goes to the top of the list.
Two things in his favor. And then we'll get to Greentown.
All right.
But first, in Elkhart, Indiana, Don, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Inyart.
Okay. The fellow mentioned Buffalo. I was born in Niagara Falls. Long time ago.
Oh, wow.
But I'm in Elkhart now. But anyway, about 20 years ago, nearly, I talked to Larry King. I was defending Anita Bryant.
Oh, wow. 20 years ago.
Did he orange
18,
juice?
Maybe 84, something like that. He cut me off. It's the only time he ever cut me off. I used to call him regular.
Yeah, you know why you could call him regular? Because he had no audience. He really didn't.
Similar to the situation on
CNN.
Yeah,
he was on radio at the time.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I read a passage in Philippians chapter 3, one clause, rather, about people who glory in their shame. And I thought of homosexual parades.
Mm.
And they flaunt this stuff, and they're proud to be gay.
Right.
They can't see their sin.
That's one of the reasons homosexuality is a sin so much worse than almost every other sin. Because most sins, like Doug, if a guy is stealing from his boss,
stealing money,
he doesn't go and brag about his thievery in public.
Right, right.
If somebody's molesting a child, typically they don't go march down Main Street bragging that they molest kids.
They hide it.
But as soon as you cross the line into homosexuality, that's it. It's such a filthy perversion that you're now, you've now drained the cup of lust and filth to its dregs.
Yeah.
You're in the gutter now.
But the mayors and governors, they march right with them.
Yeah, they do.
Of
Hillary
course
Clinton,
they do, and so
Chuck
do the
Schumer.
Republicans. Yeah. How about George W. Bush?
George Pataki.
John Ashcroft sending his number one guy at the Justice Department to honor homos at a big homo event in Washington, D.C. That's what you get from Christian conservative Republican leaders.
Be careful there.
I mean, sin blinds a person to his need. Now, I got to judge myself every so often. I'm not 100%.
Well, that's right. Judgment begins at the house of God.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing. I just got your plot today.
The plot, yeah.
I read 40 pages about
it. 40 pages?
Yeah, one criticism, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit me with it.
Well, you mentioned that the certain translations have certain passages as bracketed.
Yeah.
And I always thought that that meant they're not in the majority text, but they're in the old. They are in the majority text, and the, but they're not in the oldest manuscript.
That is not what. First of all, don't I mention if it's in italics?
Well, those are supplied words. Yeah.
Italics are supplied words in the bracketed. Don, now I wrote this 10 years ago, but you got my mind going back. That I was referring to verse references. If you have a cross-reference Bible,
you do,
and you read John 3:16, and it points you over to John 3:3, it'll be a little footnote to say, see also John 3:3, and then it'll say, and also see John 10:10. But that might be in square brackets, the 10:10, meaning that that verse is only indirectly related to the verse you're reading.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's what the square brackets, that's the convention of what that means.
I see, okay. Yeah.
Now, as far as majority text and minority text and Sinaiticus and Vaticanus,
all that.
If we're going to speak Latin, we got to do a different show.
Yeah, I like the NASB Bible the best. People who know the Greek tell me it's the most literal text.
Well, and the NASB is extremely literal, but it comes from the minority text.
Yeah.
The critical text, which was put together by Westcott and Hort, and they were definitely, unashamedly, not Christians.
Yeah.
And so, and,
I tell you,
and they, they ignore 5,000 manuscripts.
Yeah. I'm really comfortable with the New King James.
That's
they use the earliest ones that we've found?
No, that is, okay, yeah, they are very early.
Yeah.
There's two very early old manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus.
Yeah.
And those manuscripts of the New Testament, they're in extremely good shape, which most old manuscripts are in bad shape.
Yeah.
That's why they're old manuscripts.
Right. Well, you know, they get read.
But there's a lot of omissions in the Revised Version.
But thousands, thousands of manuscripts that make up the majority text, many thousands, agree with one another overwhelmingly. There's an overwhelming degree of integrity.
Yeah, it's a long argument.
The
I know.
The two manuscripts that are very old, those two that form the bulk of the critical text.
Yeah.
They disagree with the majority, and they disagree with one another radically. Extraordinary level of disagreement. And so what that tells us is those manuscripts were not worn out because they were not very good. Mm. And so some scribe who maybe drank too much, some scribe produced one of those, and it was not considered worthy of use. And so it sat in a storage locker for 1,500 years, and then it shows up, and we use it.
So,
okay. Hey, one more point, now hang up.
All right.
Because anyway, so, you know, if we go to war in Iraq, if they send Scud missiles to Israel again, Israel might take care of Saddam. This time.
Well, yeah, they certainly would. This time they're welcome too, but this time they also have. They're the only country in the world with a national anti-missile defense system deployed. That's pretty cool. And they've spent a fortune on it with a lot of help from us. But they've got a great system. So, all right. Hey, thanks, Don.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good point by Don. But aren't the Israelis worried that if they bomb Saddam that they'll make all the Arabs hate them?
Yeah, but so what's different? Live commercial break. Doug, this is our last spot.
Yep. Bob Enyart, the hardest working host in radio. No canned commercials, nothing on tape. It's all live, spontaneous.
The whole hour live.
Yeah, it's all live.
Last time we talked about the ACLU. Bob debates an ACLU lawyer.
Yeah.
It was the head of the Colorado ACLU, Jim Joy.
Jim Joy.
Did he seem joyful?
He seemed
during the show.
He seemed sick, sad, and pathetic.
He didn't seem joyful.
He seemed bitter.
What did he say? He kept saying, malarkey, was it? No, not malarkey. He kept saying, riff-rap. No, what was it?
Something like that. I got the feeling through the whole video that all he could think about was
Clap-trap,
that was it.
Clap-trap. That's from the executive director of the ACLU.
And he had nothing else on his mind except, how do I get out of the studio and get me to a bar?
Yeah,
that's what the guy looked like.
Because I asked him, well, does the ACLU support the distribution of child pornography?
That's what you asked.
And he didn't answer the question. So I immediately followed up, does the ACLU officially support the distribution of child pornography? He didn't answer. I asked a third time, does the ACLU officially support the sale and distribution of child pornography? And he said, yes, but da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, but.
Yes, but. And then he da-da-da-da.
Oh, man.
He said, personally, it's not my taste.
Oh, well,
something
thank
like
you
that.
For
but
your
yes,
personal opinion.
We believe that you have the right to sell and profit from child pornography. That's the executive director of the ACLU. And then remember I said, well, you guys support everything evil, like Jack Kevorkian killing all these sick old women.
Now that
these
one,
lonely
I think,
old women.
Didn't he deny that
he
one
He denied
first?
It. He said, we don't support him.
he wouldn't deny the child porn charge.
No.
But he was going to draw Kevorkian. The line at Jack Kevorkian.
So we show the headlines on the video, ACLU represents Jack Kevorkian in court. Oh, we don't support him. And he's the executive director.
You'd think he'd do his homework.
Of the Colorado ACLU, and I brought that up at the time because it was a big issue.
Oh, it was a huge story.
You think he didn't know?
No, well, you know, he's running around in the bars in the evenings. and he didn't shave, I don't think, before he went on. He looked real bedraggled.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to go for that university professor look that those liberals love so much.
Claptrap.
Claptrap. It's a great video, folks. 888-836-9278. Call and order the ACLU debate. Order any one of Bob's great videos. 888-836-9278. We've got audio albums available, videotapes, you name it.
Yeah. And as Joseph from Florida said, Megan's call.
Oh, yeah, Megan's call.
That's quite a video. Hey, Megan's call, Amy's call, and Terry's call. Three calls. It's they make quite a – you could order them all together. We're back. Hey, Doug, my 2-year-old is out in the office, and he's jumping up and down with the music.
All right. We got a studio audience. So the number to call, we just somebody just hung up. Who was that? Don just hung up.
Yeah.
800-8-NYARD. If you want to participate in the closing waning moments of the program, have your view heard across the country.
Yeah, call in quickly.
It's 800-836-9278 if you want to participate.
All right. Let's.
And we can go to the phones now even.
Yeah. Now to Greentown, Indiana. Mike, speak your mind.
Bob, Doug, how are you this evening?
Doing great, Mike.
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I notice you guys have been very judgmental tonight.
Uh-oh.
Don't you know that the Bible says you should judge not lest you be judged?
Come on, Mike. Are you good? All right.
Matthew 7:1.
We're not supposed to judge, but you're right, Mike. We have been judging all night.
You've been
night.
Very judgmental tonight.
So
we
glad
have.
You called and
is
caught
that,
us there.
But let me tell you something, guys. There's hope on the horizon. You won't believe this.
Yeah.
But I heard on another radio program,
not
other than
one.
not your show.
Because we say you are supposed to judge.
That's right.
Because Jesus commanded us to judge rightly.
Right.
Verbatim.
I was listening to a Christian radio station the other day, a local station.
Yeah.
And they asked the question, should Christians judge?
Uh-oh.
And they had a gentleman there with Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Ooh. Erwin Lutzer, Lutzer.
Wow.
And the moderator presented this question
this
to him.
This is a big moment to find out if Moody, where they're at.
Right, we need a drum roll.
Yes.
I'm sure, Mike, that you were just anticipating, just like I do, whenever I hear this come up on the radio, I lean forward in my seat.
Is it Dr.
Actually, I was floored.
Was it Dr. Irvin?
Erwin.
Erwin.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
Lutzer.
Okay, well, Mike, what did he say?
He said Christians should judge.
No!
Yes!
No!
That's not what
Christians
they ever say,
should
Mike.
Judge.
Well, hey, Doug, we're making headway. For 10 years on the air, we have said every night for 10 years, add that up, that's 2,500 shows.
Yep.
We have said Christians are supposed to judge.
Yes.
And we have been judged, condemned, and hated by Christians who are nicer than God. So Moody has a doctor who's on the air.
Right.
Who says it's good to judge? You should judge.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
This whole notion that Christians shouldn't judge is outrageous. He says, of course we should judge.
Of course. Otherwise, you're out of the game. You're out of the – you can't even witness the people. How dare
now,
you assume they're going to hell?
But now, most of your listeners might not know Dr. Erwin Lutzer, but how about – Josh McDowell.
Oh, we've heard of him.
Josh McDowell, didn't he write all those books?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I heard him say that Christians should judge.
Oh, Josh McDowell did, huh?
Josh McDowell. Let me tell you.
You're
he,
serious?
He shared a story with well, he was actually doing a talk with a group at Focus on the Family, and he was talking to a bunch of grandparents and talking about rescuing the next generation.
With
Jamie Dobson? Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
On
but
that
was,
show.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
big.
But he was talking to this group, and he was telling this, he was relating this story about a good friend of his, a good pastor friend of his, and he was over this pastor's home, and he was they were talking about judging, and the pastor's daughter was sitting right there, 15-year-old daughter, and she just interjected in the conversation, and she said, but we shouldn't judge people. And he noticed that the father was just beaming ear to ear,
with
just
pride.
Proud of his
oh,
daughter.
Boy.
Yeah. You know, and he says this is typical. He related that this is typical of what he deals with going around the country speaking to young people. This is how
right.
young
wow.
people, even in the church, young people. He says that this is one of the number one quoted verses among non-Christian Christians, especially young people.
Right, it used to be John 3:16.
Yes.
Now it's
right.
Matthew 7:1,
yes.
Hillary's verse.
So anyway, he just couldn't stand it. He got in this young lady's face, and he's known these. I mean, he was there for this when this young lady was born. He's close friends of the family,
oh.
but he got up in this young lady's face, and he told her, he says, you just eliminated the ability to discern the difference between Mother Teresa and Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Oh.
You just... eliminated
wow.
the ability to discern the difference between the killing fields of Cambodia and the wheat fields of Kansas. You just lost the ability to discern the difference between Adolf Hitler and Franklin Graham.
Wow. Praise the Lord for Josh
McDowell. Heavy hitter.
That
yes.
is so neat.
It's good
all
to
right.
have him on
hey,
you're making progress, Bob.
Mike, that's great. You know, these cliches, the vast majority of Christian ministers, I think they only know the cliches.
Sure.
They, that's and so they recycle them. 100 times over in a year.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. That's why we got to beat our heads against the wall for 10 years. But I tell you, we're going to win on this one.
Yeah.
I don't care if it takes another 20 years. I'm going to tell Christians every day that Jesus commanded us to judge.
It feels so good.
To judge.
Amen. Feels
Amen.
Good.
Better Amen.
It's better than the feel-good
and
church.
And get ready. You're going to judge the world on Judgment Day, so start judging.
Get ready.
Yes.
Mike, thanks so much for your thanks. Call.
Hey,
God
well,
could bless.
I want to share one other thing
Go
that
ahead.
I heard on that Josh McDowell tape, because he talked about the Columbine. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but he was the keynote address. He gave the keynote address at the anniversary of Columbine.
Well, Mike, some of the Columbine parents invited my son and I, Josiah and I, to a pizza dinner with Josh McDowell here
okay.
oh, wow.
in the past year. And it was pretty neat. We got to talk to him about his new evidence that demands a verdict.
Yeah.
I told him I read his first one.
Yeah.
And he said, no one's ever read that book. And I said, I read that book,
yeah.
every footnote even.
Yeah.
So I got a new one for free.
Well,
that was a good deal.
Well, anyway, he said that he was talking about what they're teaching children in school. And he said that. What Harris, and he said this is hard for him to say, but he said that what Harris and Clebo did was right. It was morally right according to their belief system.
Exactly.
They did what they were taught at Columbine.
Oh, right.
In fact, they should be martyred at Columbine because they were true to their belief system. And how can we criticize them when we taught them to be true to their
right.
belief system?
Right, there's no God, there's no right or wrong.
It's called values clarification.
The stronger organism could kill the weaker. That's what they've learned at Columbine, and that's what they did. Thank
Mike,
you.
Mike, thanks so much.
Hey, you're welcome, guys. Hey, God bless you. I just want to put in a plug for The Plot. If you haven't read The Plot, you got to get it.
Oh, you're the best. Thank
thanks,
you, Mike.
Now,
God,
he knows how
bless
to stay
you.
On
God
here.
Bless you. Yeah, that's
but we're
how
almost out of time,
on.
So we got to clear the lines.
Real
we
quick,
go to the phone.
Colorado Springs, Colorado. Brian, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Hey, I just got a quick question for you. In light of 2 Corinthians 6:14, that talks about believers not being unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah.
What do you think about this alliance that Focus on the Family has formed with Mormons, Muslims, and Hindus called the World Congress of Families, and it's to fight homosexuality at the UN level?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea, but should we be joining up with Mormons and Muslims and Hindus?
Well, okay, let me ask you a question. Let's say it's World War II and we're fighting the Nazis. Would you allow Mormons and Hindus in your unit?
Well, let me clarify, too, because this is a Mormon organization.
Well, that sounds bad right there.
Yes,
and if they're,
Mormon organization that asked Focus to join them.
That doesn't sound good. But if there are any religious overtones to it, no, because, you know, Islam is sending more people to hell than homosexuality.
Right. I agree.
And Mormonism is sending all Mormons to hell. 100%. You know, not 100% of homos end up going to hell.
Yeah, and, Bob, I got to tell you, any organization that's going to concentrate the fight against homosexuality in the U.N. is squandering their resources.
Because the U.N. is a lost cause.
Yeah, forget about the U.N. How about let's fight homosexuality on, like, a family level. I'm going to try and prevent it in my family.
Yeah.
And if we all would do that.
Well, but but there's nothing wrong with fighting, you know, the political battle.
No, there's not.
But the U.N. is a lost cause.
Yeah.
It's like trying to reform the public school system. How stupid can a Christian be? Why don't you try to get prayer in a house of ill repute? How about that for a constitutional amendment?
Right.
Let's make prostitutes pray at the beginning of every day.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if anybody wants any documentation on this, it's at focusonthefamilyalliance.org.
All right.
Now, wait, is that an anti-Focus website?
No, it's a Christian website that's reaching out to Focus, trying to get them to repent of this alliance with Mormons.
Okay, but come on, you should have said yes, Brian.
All right,
you
were not. It's not anti-Focus.
You should have said yes, but we really want the best for them.
Well, no, seriously.
Well,
though,
Focus would take the
website. Actually, is not anti-Focus.
Oh, right. In the big picture,
it's anti this alliance.
Yeah, I understand. But I think that was a little coy of an answer.
Yeah, they're anti-Focus. They just happen to be correct on this issue.
Yeah, it's,
you know, and sometimes Focus. Yeah, everybody makes mistakes. You know?
Yeah, like the one of the huge mistakes Focus on the Family made is when they said that homosexuals have the right to be homosexuals.
Yeah, they did. They did say that.
That's a huge one.
But they're coming back, Bob. They let a guy come on their show and say what we should judge. So
that's good.
We're making inroads.
And when James Dobson said he repented that he had supported a politician who was willing to kill some innocent children. Do you remember, Brian, when James Dobson put it in writing and he said he would never again support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child?
Yeah, I remember that.
And do you remember then when he broke his pledge last campaign?
With Bush.
Right.
Yep.
Well, see, that's the problem. What too many people end up doing is going with the lesser of two evils rather than choosing
a third choice. Right. You never do evil that good might come of it.
Amen. Turns out both choices
are
evil.
And he made a promise. He repented, and he said he would never again. He put it in writing. He said it on a show. And then he did it again. Why? What kind of lust of the flesh drove James Dobson to say, I've got to have a seat at the table. I've got to be a kingmaker.
Well, see, and that's the problem. This mentality of, it used to be psychology was what really kind of kept them off the track, but they've gotten so concentrated on politics lately.
Well, we got to go, Brian. We got
our music. We got one more caller. Thanks,
Bob. Okay, well, have a great day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's try to squeeze in.
In New York, Dan, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Guys, how are you doing tonight?
Great.
Just a quick comment. I was reading this small book before the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. There was a passage there where it said that they went after strange flesh. Fornication. And it was an example for us.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't hear that much from the pulpit, and I just hope.
Thank you, Dan.
You know what I mean, gentlemen?
God bless
Dan,
you.
Dan, come to Denver Bible Church. You'll hear that and more right from the pulpit.
Okay, guys.
God bless man.
God bless you, Dan. What a neat guy. Doug, we're about out of time.
Yeah. I tell you, it goes by fast, Bob. It's fun on Friday.
Yeah, it does.
Nights.
Hey, we had some good news on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Canada's coming around.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They're headed to Denver.
Oh, yeah. Well, that at least that portion of Canada's
Josh McDowell on James Dobson saying you got to judge.
That's awesome.
Moody Radio, Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
Yeah.
Saying, of course Christians should judge.
These are huge stories.
When we started this 10 years ago, we now have a list of Christian ministries that are saying you got to judge, you got to judge. When we started, we were the lone voice in the wilderness, and now it's happening.
Yeah, but hey, stick with us, folks, because the Janet Reno recount continues, but so do we.
This is Bob and I remind you to do right and risk the consequences.